May only God's word be spoken. May only God's word be understood. Amen. I'm going to start with the story in the book of Acts. The first thing we need to remember is that clouds are a symbol of God's presence. If you remember, as the Israelites escaped from Egypt, they were led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And God's power was in that cloud. When Moses went up the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, the mountain was covered with clouds. And when Elisha was fleeing the wrath of Jezebel, the queen, who wanted to kill him, he ended up in a mountain also covered with clouds. And we look at the story of the Transfiguration, which we've had not too long ago. Jesus takes Peter and James and John up to the mountain, and a cloud descends. And in that cloud are Elisha and Moses wanting to talk to Jesus. And the three of them talk for a while, and the cloud disappears, and the disciples go back to work. And I think clouds are basically fascinating, and it's hard not to look. If I were a meteorologist, I might know a lot more about how clouds form than I do, but it always impresses me that, you know, this cloud over here is way high, and the one over there is pretty low, and why? I'm sure there's some reason, but I don't know what it is. Clouds remain somewhat mysterious. And clouds also often carry wind. Wind is also a symbol of God, the Spirit. The breath that God breathes into all of us. Breath, wind, spirit, they're all the same word in both Greek and in Hebrew. So we know that that's a major important concept. And the clouds go where they will. As far as, again, as far as the meteorologists are concerned, they can probably track fairly well. The rest of us sort of, well, here's the cloud, and pretty soon it's over there instead of over here. Well, we didn't make it go. We didn't make it move at all, but it moved without our having to do anything about it. To sort of look at things differently, I am a great fan of tennis. And somebody hits, I can't always on TV tell for sure what's happened. I mean, it looked to me like the ball was out, but they do the instant replay thing, and you see, well, it was in by a tiny fraction of an inch. Or someone runs a 95-yard touchdown. You know, how on earth did they do that? That is totally amazing. I mean, nobody knocked them over. Where were the blockers? They were doing their job. And we tend, or at least I tend to watch intently for the replay because I want to see what really happened. And we keep our eyes kind of fixed on the TV or on the game or whatever it is. And everything around us is kind of irrelevant. We don't pay a whole lot of attention. It's not when we zip off to the refrigerator to grab a snack. We got to see what happens. Well, here are the disciples standing up and looking into the sky. Well, Jesus was there. He's not anymore. What happened? So while they look intently, two men in white come along and say, "Oh, why are you looking up into the sky? There's no instant replay today." But, this Jesus who ascended will return in the same way or in another way, however, I have a friend who says we should never talk about the second coming of Christ, because that's always already happened for all of us. We probably wouldn't be here otherwise. Except, you know, there's a second, a third, fourth, fifth, 10th, 75th coming to each of us, depending on how old we are. The older we are, the more comings hopefully we get. And so here are the disciples confused, but they know something has happened. And I sort of like to distinguish between fact and truth. I mean, yesterday afternoon was a great example. I could say the high was 91. Somebody else could say the high was 97. Well, that's the facts. The truth is, it was daggone hot. And that's what really counts. And so what is the truth of the message that the ascension is trying to tell us? And it seems to me the truth is that it reminds us Jesus is no longer confined to one time and one place. We don't have to find a time machine and somebody get from here to Israel in the first century. Jesus isn't there. Jesus is now everywhere. Jesus is available to all persons, all times, and all we really have to do is reach out, and he is still there. And we know that Jesus cares for us. Look at the epistle of Peter. Cast our anxiety on God because he cares for us. Go ahead and don't worry about the suffering. Don't be anxious. God will take care of what needs to be taken care of and will eventually give us the glory that is the glory of Christ himself. And he said, God indeed will restore, support, strengthen, establish us, and give us power, as St. John makes clear. Jesus prays for his disciples because he knows he's leaving, and he prays basically for God to care for them. He says that he has finished God's work, and his disciples are left when the Spirit comes to them to finish his work. Well, we're not called to stand around. I mean, it's easy to do and to marvel at what God has done, and isn't that wonderful? But we're not called to stand around and watch. I mean, the fact that today is Memorial Day is tomorrow gives us a good example. People in the military weren't the kinds who stood around and sort of watched and thought, oh, things are terrible. They're the ones who went to fight and to take care of what needed to be taken care of. And Jesus asks us to do the same thing. Don't stand staring up into the sky, but finish his work. And what does it mean to finish Jesus' work? Well, we're just about to find out. We make promises, or promises are made for us at our baptism. They outline for us the work that God calls us and asks us and demands that we do. So if we listen carefully, as we renew our own vows, and these kids are, well, can't renew them, they make them or are made for them, what they're called to do by their baptism, we are called to do by our baptism. And it's not very many promises, maybe five or six, but listen. And as you listen, think, well, what can I do to fulfill that promise? The first one is fairly easy. Will you promise to continue the apostles' prayer and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in the prayers? Well, basically, come to church. You know, that's how we continue in the apostles' fellowship. That's how we begin to become one. As Christ prays that as we are protected, we may become one with him, with God, and with each other. So that's what we're about today, and I think we could get on with the best of the business here, the important things, and ask us, Ask God that we may have ears to hear and feet and hands to work.